All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In 1 John chapter 1, it's in verse 8 that we read, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." What we want to do in our study this morning is to look at the word sinner and see that it appears several times in the scriptures, but it is one of those words that can and does have different meanings, meaning different things. In fact, if you look at the scriptures and have studied the scriptures, you'll find that there are basically four kinds of sinners that are talked about in the scriptures. The first of those is the alien sinner. By alien, it simply means foreigner or a stranger. And we see this pointed out in the scriptures. He's not a citizen of God's kingdom. He is not a child of God. In Ephesians 2 and verse 12, for instance, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So this is what the scriptures refers to when it refers to someone who is an alien sinner, without Christ, a stranger, no hope, without God. It's also in John 3 and verse 5 that Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So an alien is one who has not entered the kingdom of God, one who has not been born of water and spirit. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." So again, an alien sinner is one who has not been delivered from the power of darkness, nor has he been conveyed into the kingdom of God's Son. We see too in the scriptures the condition of the alien sinner described. We looked a moment ago at Ephesians 2, and verse 12, and we notice there that the alien is without Christ. He is without God. And basically, to sum all that up into one word, we would have to say that an alien is lost. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It's also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that we read these words beginning with verse 6. "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those that trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So we see then that those who are alien sinners, being in that lost condition without Christ, without God, they will be punished with everlasting destruction for the fact that they do not know God, for the fact that they have not obeyed the gospel of Christ. So to be an alien sinner is to be separated from God. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. But an alien sinner, in this condition that he is in, can be saved. Jesus states that in Mark chapter 16, when he commissioned those to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then in verse 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So see, that is the believing and the obeying of the gospel that we read about earlier in 2 Thessalonians 1, that Christ is going to come in flaming fire taking vengeance on those that know not God, that is, they do not believe, taking vengeance on those that have not obeyed the gospel, that is, they have not believed and been baptized for the forgiveness of sins in order to be saved. And of course, that's exactly what Peter commanded. Jesus not only commissioned them to do that very thing, but we see Peter carrying that very thing out on the first occasion when the gospel was first preached in Acts, the second chapter. In verse 38, in answer to the question of those that had asked, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. So yes, despite the deplorable condition that an alien sinner is in, he can be saved. But then too, we see that word sinner also being used in the sense of a redeemed sinner. That is, one who has their past sins forgiven. In Mark chapter 16, we find in verse 16, this is what we do in order to become saved, in order to have the forgiveness of sin. What Peter told them to do on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Remission means simply forgiveness. So a redeemed sinner is one like what Paul describes in Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's in Romans 6 and verse 2, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or did you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So then we see that although that we are saved, redeemed sinners, we can yet sin. In 1 John 1, verse 1 beginning, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. You see, sin, when a redeemed sinner commits it, it'll separate him from God, just like we read a moment ago in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. For that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. Our iniquities have separated us from God. Our sins hide his face from us, that he will not hear. In James 5, we also read in verse 9, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." See, James is talking to brethren, that is, in that spiritual relationship of the family of God. "Do not grumble against one another, brethren." Then he says, "lest you be condemned." Notice on down in the verse 19 of James 5, "Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he that turns a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin." Again, the context of whom James is speaking of and speaking to are brethren in that spiritual relationship in the family of God. And so he sees that in verses 19 and 20, that if one among those brethren wanders from the truth, then know that he that does that job of restoring that brother has saved a soul from death. Why is that? Because, as we said a moment ago, sin, it doesn't matter who commits it, sin separates that person from God. Also, it's in John chapter 15, Jesus made these statements beginning with verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire, and they are burned." So oftentimes there are those who read these verses in John 15 and try to explain them in such a way that the branches are denominational churches or just churches in general. But friends, that's not at all what Jesus is speaking of. He's not speaking of churches because he only built one, and therefore there is no authority given through him for the existence of churches other than the church that he built. So John 15, Jesus is not speaking of churches in the sense of them being branches. Because if you notice in verse 5, he's not only said, "I'm the vine and you're the branches." It says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And then in verse 6, in the King James Version, it says, "If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. So let's don't change what Jesus is referring to here to be something that he's not referring to. He's referring to individual disciples, individual followers of him, not churches, not any kind of religious organization. So he is divine. We as Christians, if we profess to be followers of Jesus, we are the branches. In 1 John 1 verse 6, John said, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." You see, as long as a person is in error, he's lost. Whether he has obeyed the gospel, whether he is a Christian or not, if that person is in error, he is lost. We see our time is gone. We'll pick up at this study tomorrow, Lord willing. We hope that you'll tune in then. And it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day and return you now to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.